Blog Talk Radio.
This is Conglomerate Radio.
Ooh, can you get me some salt and vinegar chips? And some now and laters? Ooh, I really want a tropical fantasy. Some butter crunch cookies and Drake cake.
Of course, why would it work? Why would it work? We get nothing for this.
You're an idiot.
It's the greatest show in the world, you fucking asshole.
All they do is stay out there and talk about garbage. They just talk, talk, talk.
And don't forget my skills. It's because you are going to Dalla Vega.
The verbal barbershop is in order.
Oh, good for you!
Yes. Yes. I'm sorry if I just laughed at your ears. Come on. Oh, damn it, man. This is loud, man. All right. Okay. Like I said, everybody, welcome. One and all, you are listening to The Bodega. I am your host for the evening, the PAB. Also stands for the Poet Boricua, for those who don't know. Also, I can go by my moniker since it's football season. Pablo 77. You know what it is. Act like so. Anyway. Some of you that are probably listening tonight got the heads up. I am without my usual co-host this evening, DJ Sid. We've been preoccupied with a lot of personal drama, bullshit. And so it hasn't been easy to get a show off. We just are focused on it elsewhere. And we don't get paid for this horseshit. So. But Tim Arson, the pyromaniac, also known as the zombie from the first episode of the new ECW on Time. He is going to be on the show. He's supposed to be co-hosting with me. He's not here yet. Appropriately, my man has got a hold of me about 2 minutes ago and told me, actually about 3 minutes ago, he's at a real bodega. That is a little corner store for all of you nice suburban folk who don't know what the hell I'm talking about. He's at a bodega getting the butter crunch cookies pop. You know what I mean? He's getting coffee. I would say he's getting Tropical Fantasy, but no, he's getting the butter crunch cookies popping right now. He's getting the Little Debbie 35-cent honey bun. You know, they charge you a dime for it because they got the white frosting on it, you know. But either way, he is going to be my co-host this evening. Once he's ready, we're going to be pretty much hitting the ground running. So I just want to give everybody a big heads up. When he comes through, we're really going to just be hitting the ground running. He's going to be fighting like all this stuff. We don't do too many late night shows. Never really care. Everybody's drunk. I don't care. Medicated or whatever. But if he comes through, you'll get the heads up. Either way, yo, can we kill that music? All right, so like I said, welcome to the Bodega. I am your host, the PAB. My co-host, Tim Arson, will be coming through. We're waiting for him to get back from a real bodega. I'm not making that up. DJ Sid is not in effect this week. We may do another show later on this week. One with Sid, but we'll see how tonight goes. So, you know what it is. Also, I'm trying to think. Right now, there hasn't been too many things popping. Everybody's still, you know, everybody's getting ready to go back to school over here on the East Coast. Fall just kind of crash landed this past week. Like right now, it's like where I'm at. I'm kind of like in the middle of New York State. Yo, it's right now 50 degrees right now outside. Like 50 to 60 degrees. All right, it is rock a hoodie cold right now during the evening, and I'm hearing that this winter is going to be kind of brutal for us with the way the weather's been flip flopping. Because like 3 weeks ago it was in the 90s, so it is what it is. As you can tell, I'm procrastinating bullshitting my ass off right now. Also, let me give out the phone number. I'm going to give out the phone number for any live listeners, all three of you. The phone number is area code 914-803-4124. That's 914-803-4124. It doesn't spell a goddamn thing, and it's not a toll-free number. All right? That's how it is up on this show. That's exactly how it is on this show. So while I'm waiting for Tim, I could share a couple little things. You know what? In honor of DJ Sid not being here, but, you know, he's not forgotten. He's coming back. And because I ain't got my boy with me today, we're going to get into some BNN news report, the Bodega news report, until we figure out what's popping off with Tim Arson. For those that don't know what the BNN news report, it's all those little oddities, all those little odd, weird, damn news reports, the things that fall through the crack, the things that really make you wonder, you know, like, you know, people, maybe some people need to die at an early age. It's that type of shit. You know what I mean? But I know it's kind of fucked up, but it is what it is, man. You know, nature has a way of working things out sometimes. And yeah, it is what it is. Okay, it wasn't that great.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's me messing with the board. Deuce for all y'all that know what's up. Right now, I'm looking for our usual stuff. Since we haven't been on the air in a minute, a lot of our sound clips and shit are ghosts. A lot of stuff we use on the regular is ghosts. Damn, this sucks. What are you going to do? All right, you know what? Play me some music until we get Timmy here. We're going to get to the BNN News Report. And I am your host, Pablo Bodega. Ooh, I'm feeling it. Some Q-tip. All right. I didn't think about my hip-hop. Hell, I may have to play a song if we don't get Tim off on here soon. All right, man. So let's see what's popping up. Right now, Honolulu, New York people, you're going to love this right now. Jersey, y'all going to love this right now. Honolulu, Hawaii, is right now have a bill lined up that they're trying to get proposed and in effect that would add... If you decide to rent a bus, or in the city's case, the train, if you take public transportation in any way, shape, or form, you can get a $500 fine or up to 6 months in jail. Crazy. Right now, New York needs that right now. I know some of y'all need that right now. On the bus, the train, New York City. Even better, imagine you got to pick up a bid and got to explain to them what you're in for. Shit, you're right, man. Think like goddamn panty urine, whatever that crap is, man. You work 6 months at the time, all the time. For all our married, this was out of Pennsylvania. Big up, PA. Man just got to pick for 3 6 years. But robbing a bank. At least some shit, right? Well, bug out when you see this. The man robbed the bank to get away from his wife. Apparently, shit was so hectic that he wanted to leave his wife, but she let him commit suicide if he did. You psycho bitches. Y'all know what you want to do. You straight ass. Either way, she did that. He actually robbed the bank for the bank, asked for money, and then told him to tell him peace. He stayed up to him. And then he kept talking to the teller to find out. So, like, he wanted to go to jail. That's the second best thing I've ever heard. That had to be the worst bit to any spouse beyond, besides flipping gay. You know what I mean? Like, that pussy got a problem with Maggie having the big dick. That's so gay. Because it's that makeup. It's crazy. Anyway, man, it's like right now at the moment. I'm trying to get me up on the phone. Right now, let's get into a track right now. I'm probably the only hip hop today. Some new shit. This is from my boy Tim Marston's coming through. He is a Wu-Tang fan. Raekwon's got an album coming out soon. This month. No, this month. What am I saying? September. So this is a track. It's called House of Black Daggers. It's from Raekwon's new album. We go for two things. To make sure you respect the deck. Most of the stuff. That's the thing. Right? Let's get most of the back to team.
Nobody is going to save you now. Soldiers in the front, let the heat pump. Troops on the left, right to the death. Soldiers in the front. I pop off like a mobster boss. Angel hair with the lobster sauce. Summertime can't top the scores. Check my hot broad, I drop the balls. FBI wanna watch the force. Tryna lock my source. Where I'm from, hit a max deck, blocks and fours. Hide the safe, lock the doors. No respect for the cops and laws. In the land with your own blood, brother, still block for yours. Seeing things that'll drop your jaw. My soldiers got dropped in war. See the mural on the project wall. Won't stop till I cop them all. Wanna block me, you got the brawl. Trade shots and all, cause I ain't on the clock for talk. The spot rush up, blow down the spot for sure. Still break off the block with raw. My stock is more than sitting around, watch your ball.
Deep pockets with the 8 on me, sleep with the safe in the wall. The camo's on with the makeup and all. Swap 645, West Reaper in the flicks. Pop your warty ride, bolt his gun off from know your horse. She lies, fly, cry, Syria. Bury me in Africa with whips and spears and rough diamonds out of Syria. True dawn, only I can do wrong. Rock fitted hats, get crack money and drive a sick blue joint regardless. I'ma blow regardless. Resume is straight up live. I shank niggas up for larger reason. Speak with the youth in the spot. Eat the fresh fruit in the crop. All these hip hoppers eat cock. You can see me in the street or the yacht. I'd rather be promoting your block or buying fresh niggas with guap. Yo, I'm an ill dude. Always been a real dude. Don't fuck around. I will spill on you and kill you in the field, boo.
Soldiers in the front. Let the heat pump. Troops on the left. Right to the death. Bam on the right. Over red lights. Walls in the back. Ready to protect. What? Soldiers in the front, let the heat pump. Troops on the left, right to the death. Bam on the right, all the red lights. Wolves in the back, ready to protect.
Let the jackets on, rock the rock stars. Treacherous bank robbers, the plan go dumb. We pop guards, the team gotta eat seeds. It's hungry, that's why we ain't scared to dunk on you. Our guns are chunky, usually we bust them down with bats. Swell up they joints, elbow wrist, they shins get cracked. We still humiliate, brutalize, ruga pop, pulverize. Still got gear in the closet. That stupid lie from Benetton, rugby skullies. Our top conductor jumpers, the train hat fit me lucky. Rain job is to make sure the coke is fluffy. While I politic his birthday bash with puppy. Back knee as soon as I link up, the kid ain't inked up. I'm an old mummy, my go way is much as King Tess slip his robe is linked up.
Man, y'all niggas ain't shoot to us. Fill a pistol butt, split your melon like I split the Dutch. Got a lot of pep to puff, and I ain't come for fifth to cuff or for the cop that wanna clip the cuffs. Man, it's that and it's good to what? Don't get it twisted, we twist it up and even mix with dust. See, these fans can't resist the rush. They Wu-Tang for life, scar for life, they can't forget the cuts. Got a whole line of classic joints, and while you at it, pass the joint. But twist this music past the point, I know return till the crash and burn. Down the ashes then, placed inside old dirty bastards urn. When it's my time to go, for sure, getting it goes to war. What you think I brought these soldiers for? The same shot, like forget me not, said any new respect boots that figure they gon' get me got.
Your basic kung fu's no good. You can't move fast enough, and you don't have enough strength. And your body movements are like a street fight. It's too easy for me to trip you up. Hey! Yeah! Hey! Hey!
All right, we are back with the Bodega. Let me see. Right now we are going to try to get my man Tim Arson up in the cut. We are going to definitely try to get him up in the cut. Hang on, everybody. You know what? You know what? I'm going to be foul. I'm going to be foul to all of you people out there. I'm going to put you guys on hold. So, yeah, deal with the hold music while we try to get this whole audio situation.
Wait, hold on.
All right, people. All right, man. Let me welcome everybody, the one and the only. Some of you know him from the first episode of ECW as the zombie on Sci-Fi, the whack ECW, I'm sorry. Some of you know him from Puerto Rico as Battle Maniaco. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I'm caught up in the moment of how silly this has gotten. I know him as Tim Arson, a friend of mine, compadre. Everybody, welcome Tim Arson to the Bodega.
Shouldn't you say behind door number three?
I know, right? Do you want what's behind door number one, door number two, or what's under the box?
I hear the delay, and I hear you live. This is the treat of live radio or live internet radio.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
I got the feedback. I'm hearing both.
Yeah, you know what it is? That's right. You're listening to the computer. Yeah, like I said, I warned everybody prior to us doing this that we're going to be pretty much hitting the ground running.
Yes, yeah. But can I close down something so that I can hear you better? Or just so I can just hear the live.
Okay, I got a better question for you. Do you have a headphone on right now?
Wait a minute. I logged on to the double. Oh. Hold on.
Don't log on to the show.
I just left the show. Okay.
As
I'm not. I'm not live
me?
Anymore. I can't hear myself live anymore on the show, but I'm live with you. So
yes.
I guess I'm actually live on the show.
Yes, you are live on the show.
Just
you
fucking.
Dumbass. Real nice.
Oh,
real
no,
nice.
That's terrible.
Oh, yeah. So, all right, so let's try this again. Once again, everybody, we'll welcome this scumbag, Tim Arson, on this show.
Well, thank you for that dubious introduction.
Oh, man. Yeah, we've been trying to get this going on for a month now, and there's been a lot of personal bullshit on our end. And I know that
definitely on your end.
More so on our end. You've been an expectant father, so also I've Wait, are you still an expectant father, or are
you? Yes, I'm still an expecting father.
Okay, so at any point you may actually leave the show. I just want to get that clear.
Don't say that, please. Don't fucking come on. You see, already off to a bad start.
Oh man,
she's fine. She's here. She's reading. She's relaxing.
All right,
my son is relaxing, asleep in her belly. So everything is just beautiful.
All right, man. So you're on the show. We got a little over a half an hour. That's cool. Anybody wants to call into this horse shit, this car wreck, it's 914-803-4124.
We can go into overtime too, right?
Yeah, we can go into overtime. Anything we do past midnight, this is for everybody out there who don't know yet.
It'll be $1.99 a minute.
Yeah, pretty much. It will be podcasted. So anything we do past midnight will no longer be live. It will be podcasted. So if we decide to go over, we'll announce it closer to the end of the show. And that'll give all you people who are into the show incentive to go and download it and hear it. You know what I mean? If you just want to listen to us live, enjoy. We already got off to a hell of a start.
Yes, we did. And we have the whole Facebook community with us now.
Oh God, we're
international tonight, Whip. International.
Well, I gotta give credit where credit's due, man. This is your first time on the show. I gotta my partner DJ Sid's not here. I gotta give props to him though, because we actually get heard through his end, through his pull, because he's not here today.
Where is he from?
He's a Queens guy. He's actually from Ozone Park, Queens. But because he has his own little DJ thing with a crew of DJs, they managed to parlay a simulcast, if you will, or a syndicated version of an internet show, if there is one. If not, then we're inventing it. Whatchamacallit? We get heard in UK.
Wow.
We get heard
international, worldwide.
Yeah, we've actually had a phone call. We've had one in a whole year of being on Blog Talk. We've had one phone call from the UK.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you only had one phone call, and that was going to be the end of this.
I think we only had five, so.
Five phone calls?
No, I don't.
I guarantee we'll top that tonight if you open up the phone lines.
Oh, the phone lines are open, man. We're just waiting. Who knows? I don't know.
What kind of a host are you? You got to give the number.
I gave the number like four fucking times already.
Oh,
914. I did. Oh, my God. 914-803-4124. That's
not going to be easy, pal.
That number doesn't spell shit. But it's 914-803-4124. It's a New York area code for anybody who's curious. All right, we are too broke and poor for an 800 number, so deal with it.
That's fine.
If anybody wants to call, and
nowadays, if you have to pay for calls at this hour, you deserve to pay for calls at this hour.
Yeah, that's right. So if you open the cell phone, you have 3 nights in a weekend.
You're a dumbass. You deserve to pay for calls at this hour, if that's the case. But
oh man, all right, so. Again, welcome to the show. Tonight, as anybody can tell, is pretty fucking freeform.
Pablo, thank you.
It's pretty fucking freeform. So who knows what else? So far, we've ragged on each other. We've played hip hop. We've listened to the dating game theme twice. You have to forgive me, man. I don't do too many late night shows, man. I usually need what you're probably
get
having.
Get the coffee out.
Oh, I should have. I really should have. I'm jealous. If I'm correct, I told everybody you went and got coffee and picked up butter crunch cookies and some.
No, it's actually the Coke. I'm only kidding. You have no comeback for that. What's going on with you? Is this a PG show?
No, my friend, come on. You can let it all hang out, but please. But please, don't let it all hang out. But we good. I'm trying to get my thoughts together. Is there anything in particular you want to talk about? Do we want to go into I don't want to go into a full-blown wrestling interview because
No, this is all about pop culture and what you've been doing, what I've been doing.
I got more shit popping off than I do. Is there anything in particular that got you? I mean, I got something I could throw out there, but I mean, if you got something, please bring it to the table, Nick. Bring it to the table.
Okay, Nick. I'll bring the table, Nick. Well, I'm going to start my own wrestling federation called WWFF. So I can't get sued. It's called Wrestlers Who Work for free.
That happens already.
WWWFF. Wrestlers who work for free.
Okay.
WWFF, okay.
All right.
There's just so many wrestlers out there that are working for free right now. And they might say that they're paying dues, that they're doing this and they're doing that, but we know it's all a bunch of crap. If you've been in this business for more than 4 or 5 years, and if you get paid less than $100 a show, you should just quit. Honestly, honest to God, I honestly think that. And I hate to start off on a negative note, but there's just so much nonsense going on, and people that want to be wrestlers. But the good thing about the wrestling business right now, Whip, is that it's kind of like an unmolded piece of clay. I mean, there's nothing really dazzling when you turn on TV that's going on right now. Although this week's Raw wasn't too bad, but I think that's because they probably had Arn and maybe Dusty booking it as opposed to a Hollywood writing staff.
Yeah, for real, right? I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
I just got headshots done on Saturday.
I told you to stop hanging out with those other gay wrestlers.
I know. I got headshots done. I'm serious. I'm going to Hollywood. I'm gonna break into their genre just like they've come into our genre, into the wrestling world, the way Hollywood has come in and infiltrated. You know,
hey, man, go for it.
It was an enjoyable experience, you know, twice a week to watch on television, not having sex with my wife, but twice a week watching WWE on television, you know, has become kind of a, I just feel like an old negative bastard now when I watch the show at times.
Well,
but it's,
I mean,
kind
to
of
be fair, but you're also looking at it from the inside, and you always get a different perspective of being on the inside. It's like the old strip club theory. You know what I mean? Like, a strip club is always more enticing when you go to it once in a blue moon. Once you work on the other end of it, once you, let's say, you're bouncing or you work in management, you start realizing how psycho and how crazy some of them bitches are and all this other shit. Like, it loses, the veil gets pulled down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you see all the scars, you know, on top of the beauty that at one point was the only thing you saw. So it grinds on you. I mean, Lord knows I've talked about, people who are listening to the show who know me know well enough why I go in and out, why I've, over the years, I've nitpicked more and more. The older I get, the grumpier I get about it, yet I can't walk away from it. So, not 100%. You understand what I'm saying?
When was your last match?
A year and a half ago. Working for none other than, and this is strictly for East Coast indie fans, none other than the hardcore indie legend Rockshaw.
Rockshaw, my son. and that's not disrespectful for anybody that knows Rockshaw. If you call him son, that's actually, you know.
We can't even get into that. That's a show in itself.
What are we on, a bodega show? Okay, I call my brother son because he shines like one. There you go.
Oh my God! Yes, yes. Tim Martin.
Maybe bust out my style.
Nah, man. We don't. We ain't ready for that, man. Don't worry. You're coming back on the show. Say something.
I'll say something. I heard you last week talking about white kids that talk like they're black. So I don't want to go down that road.
Oh my God. Man, I saw that shit again today, man. You don't even.
You don't say nothing about. How come you don't say anything about Puerto Rican kids who try to talk black?
How long have I known? I got nothing. I suck.
What the fuck is wrong with you? How long do I know you for?
Oh man, over 10 years at this point.
Yeah, I'm only fucking with you.
No, you can, please.
I have no
response for that. I have
actually kind of surprised. I'm actually kind of surprised you you move up to bumfuck Poughkeepsie. I would think that maybe you would have picked up a little bit of a hick accent, but
no. No, I know how to play the game, bro.
I'm proud of you. Yeah.
I know how to play the game. I know what song and dance to do for the master when I need to do it.
All right. Why don't we open up the phone lines?
Like I said, man, the phone lines are open. It's a matter of whether or not people want to call in. Again, the phone number, 914-803-4124. We are with our guest co-host today, Tim Arson, Arsonist, formerly
honored
Zombie.
I am honored to be a part of the show today. I'm sorry
I'm honored, even though I got to be fair. I got to be fair. Fuck it, you want to go through? I know I got to apologize, and I got to bust balls, because we are the second show that Tim Arson has been on Blog Talk Radio.
What?
You are the second show that because you were on another show like a week ago when you were at that wrestling show. And I'll be fair, man. We were supposed to have him on like 2 weeks ago. We were supposed to have him on a minute ago. We were supposed to have you on a while ago. And I guess there were some guys that got you at some other guys on Blog Talk got you on their show. And they ran, you know, the usual wrestling drill, which we're probably going to do down the road. But I'm kind of pissed though. They robbed it. They're stealing my bit.
Who is?
The other wrestling show. They stole my guess.
What are you talking about? So we can go either way. What you were going to ask me? What supermarket? If the zombie went into a supermarket, where would he shop at? Are you talking about Blade Braxton's show?
It may have been. I'm not even sure. Even though, you know what? I don't hate no show.
Oh, maybe. The show from last week. Okay,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
That was actually just a. They basically just it was a good show, but it was more or less, you know, more sticking to the book. It was kind of like just like a verbal Wikipedia of what I've done.
Even though, you know what, I feel really bad, and I'm not saying this mean. All right, so if this gets back to those guys and they actually listen to this, to my babble to this point, guys, that show, the audio cut out on the middle of Tim's interview, and I lost at least 5 minutes of that. 5 minutes of that.
Yeah, yeah, it sounded like I think it may have been my cell phone, actually, so I might have to take the hit for that one.
Nah, it was across the board. Nah, Blog Talk sometimes fucks around. Lord knows we've had a couple of shows that sound like shit. So you know what happens on Blog Talk. But you know what? Much love for those guys. I'm not shitting on them. I gotta pick at you because you were supposed to be my guest first, and they're stealing my guest. God damn it! I'm shutting shit down like Jay Leno, bastard.
You had the opportunity. You had the opportunity, but you needed your security blanket there. So
I'm not going to do that. As a matter of fact, you know what? I ain't even gonna hit on my security blanket. He's always here.
Okay.
Hey, but look, check this out, man. Yo, but I come prepared. My, if I start getting stupid, you know, if I start saying some stupid shit, like, yeah, you know, I'm the Mag Daddy Pimp. My partner's here in spirit, right? Right,
where's
he
at? Idiot.
Thank you. See, he's here in spirit.
Well, I have more respect to you than that, Whip. You're Mr. MTV for heaven's sake.
Oh God, that bullshit angle. Anyway.
Listen, it got over on Facebook. It got some people to log on, I'm sure, to the Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm telling you, man. If anybody wants to see the character of the Mad Whipper Whip face off with ECW Zombie in a speed chess match, please call 914-803-4124. That'd be interesting. Anyway, man.
So aren't you going to ask me how things are down at Gleason's nowadays? Gleason's being the place where we both trained at.
There's two ways.
It's up to you. I mean, it's your show.
To break kayfabe, even though I'm not supposed to break kayfabe, every wrestler I've had on this show tells me not to break kayfabe, but fuck it, I'm going to break kayfabe, basically pulling back that veil. As the host of the show, I can talk about a lot of insider shit. Or let like someone like you give your opinions on what's going on down there.
Listen,
or we could talk about something else completely off topic, you know, and say fuck it. But you know what? Just so people know out there, just to give a refresher, because I can hear that you got something to say, and I'm gonna let you get it out.
I got nothing to say. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're a lying asshole. Just to let everybody know, Gleason's gym, some people know it up here. I know people around me know it as a boxing gym. They, you know, it has a huge rep at the boxing gym. We have all trained there as wrestlers. Me, Tim Arson, Eric Adams, who we've had on the show.
Ricky Vega's
been, Matt Stryker, a bunch of people.
Don Dudley.
I mean, there's a list. We can go down the list. We can go down all the horseshit list. But
well,
Johnny Rods runs. Let's go out of there.
I think I would like to think that plugging the show, we did a good job plugging the show tonight on Facebook. And I think that there's a lot of new people. So I think you really have to go a little bit more in depth in terms of the alumni from Gleason's and, of course, trained by the WWE Hall of Famer, Johnny Rods.
Yes, which I always give credit to Johnny. We've talked about Johnny. We've talked about Johnny Star-Eyed, and we've also talked about how Johnny loves his white vinegar wraps on Bad Aches. But
yeah.
But just so everybody knows,
and I just have to
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I apologize. I didn't mean to cut you off. No. I just have to apologize. Already, I've already offended people, and I sincerely do apologize to my cousin Joseph because he said. He got offended with my hick comment about the hick accents and stuff. So there ain't nothing wrong with a southern accent, with an accent if you're from town where, you know.
Oh, I love the southern accent. I'm looking to break all boundaries, man.
I like the ladies.
I'm looking to be a hip hop wrestling Puerto Rican trucker.
Truck driver. I heard that last. I heard that last week.
I'm looking to be Wet My Man and the Bear, bro. I'm looking to put it down.
We also have an army contingent listening to us. My cousin, and I hope he doesn't. He's going to kill me if I get it wrong. I believe he was in the army.
Okay.
I haven't seen him in years, and I'm looking forward to seeing him pretty soon with his sister and my other cousin. And that's my cousin Joey Potts, and he's listening right now.
I got to do it because he has the only stereotypical name. Hey, Joey Potts, hey! Hey, Joey Potts, hey!
Where are white women at?
Navy. He's in the Navy? Navy. Yes.
Hey, man. Yes. Yo, I know a lot of people that are in the arms. I got both of my brother-in-laws are in the Air Force, so it's like, you know what? And we, Lord knows, one of my most interesting fans as of late, a mutual friend of ours, Victor, who's a Marine right now over in Iraq. I know he's listening tonight. Daytime over there. Actually, it's daytime over there. He's listening. Big up to Victor. Yes.
Yes. Big up to sexy Papi Lindo Arroyo.
We were talking about Gleason's. Gleason's is our home base of operations. Is where we all got to start. It's where we all busted our ass learning the tricks of the trade underneath WWE Hall of Famer Johnny Rods, who's trained a bunch of people that we've mentioned a couple of. The list goes longer, but that's what it is. Right now, the school is still very much active. And right now, it's just to generalize. Thank you.
That was a sound effect by your producer.
Oh yeah, but just to generalize, to keep it in a general thing, it's no secret wrestling business is kind of in a lull right now. We're still generating money, but it's not as it was, let's say, around 2000.
I'll never stop loving wrestling, just the same way I am with baseball and the New York Yankees. First place, best team in the majors. Thank you very much. But
we'll blast off for that one. There you go. We'll blast off for that one.
I'll never stop loving wrestling. And you say it's kind of in a lull right now. And I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody right now that's doing their thing on TV if they're listening right now. But you know, right now you can't actually say that anybody is better than anybody. It's kind of like the table is kind of open for the next big star.
Yeah, they're generally waiting for it. They really are.
They don't have one right now. I mean, really, outside of, I'm not talking about either company, either major company right now on TV, but I'm talking about in Mexico, Puerto Rico, Japan. There really isn't one standout professional wrestling star because right now the majority of people are marking out for UFC. And now you have wrestlers that are turning to mixed martial arts and
now I hear what you're saying. Like
outside of a few people that I actually know, like PJ Friedman, you know Phil.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Who is Randy Couture's top trainer right now, and he's one of my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't take that seriously too much. And I think it, I think wrestling will come around again, but like I said, right now it's in a low.
Yeah, and it's everything has highs and lows. That's
And I'm kind of excited because you know what? I'm in that class right now. I mean, I'm 32 years old. I'm in that class right now where I'm still in great shape. I still have a very good look, and I think that I can make an impact as much as anybody right now. So.
Oh, and I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. Hell, man, I would give it. Hell, I said it. I think I said it on this show. As a matter of fact, I couldn't tell you what episode, but I said it on the show that you were one of the people that even back then, when you were still, for lack of a better term, considered green,
right,
I had said that. You were one of the people that I felt that, you know, if as long as you did what you had to do, you were straight. You know what I mean? Like, you were going to go. You were going to run all the way. That's not blowing smoke up your ass because you're on the show.
No.
Because I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass because I've known you too long to blow smoke up your ass.
I wonder what that feels like, having smoke blowing up your ass.
I don't know, but I've seen baby powder Jackass too. But I don't – that's another topic for another time.
Yeah, I've used baby powder from time to time.
Thank you for sharing.
That's a zombie, of course. In my hair.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah, that's the ticket.
Yeah.
All right, so we were on.
Yeah, so I was talking about Gleason. I was like, what I was saying was that wrestling's in the low, and what I was leading to was that there is a trickle-down. There's a trickle-down theory, which it applies. If it's slow or so-so on the top, it gets slow all the way down. And especially after the end of the 90s where you had ECW, you had WCW, you had Japan really blowing up really big. You know, like that, none of that stuff is around anymore. So bringing it all the way back around to Gleason's, which is where I'm trying to take it to, is that I've heard things I'm saying, like, you know, it goes all the way down to even the lowest level at even wrestling schools where maybe, in my opinion, this is strictly my opinion, the creativity isn't there as it once was, or the heart isn't there as it once was, or even in certain cases, it goes the other way. The heart might not be there, but their ego is there. You know what I mean? Like there's almost too much confidence and not enough brains. You know what I mean? People who are thinking they're ready for the big time when they still need more time. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, we actually got a call. You know what? Not to butt in, we got a caller.
Wow.
Yeah, we got one caller. I don't know who's calling. We don't got screen callers. So who knows? This is from the 904 area code. Hang on. I'll tell you.
This is like
904, you are on the air. What's up? You're on the air with the Bodega with Tim Arson.
Hey, yo, cousin Joey Potts. What's up?
Hey, Joey Potts.
Hey, Joey.
Hey, what's up, Jimmy? Yeah, this is Joe.
What's up, cuz? How you doing?
Not much. Appreciate the shout-out.
No problem. That's what
you got that right, though, right? He said, what did he say, Navy?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm in the Navy.
No, I got it wrong. I said Army at first.
No, that's, yeah, okay. That's why I'm not saying Army. I'm saying Navy.
You got it right. Calling and letting you guys know I enjoyed the show tonight. It sounded good. I think I'm a couple of minutes behind because I've been listening to it on the webcast.
You didn't miss shit. Tim was late as hell. He was out at the corner buying Coke and sweet buns.
Oh, my God.
And he didn't get on the air for at least 15 minutes. So you didn't miss much in the beginning.
That's going to be a nice topic when Joseph comes up and we're at the dinner table.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man.
Jerk coffee. What's going on, Joe? How's everything down there tonight?
Yeah, shit. You know, just keeping the rent paid. Got 6 more months in, and then I think I'm going to call it quits and finish up a degree or something.
How are you? I'm curious.
I don't know what's going on, so I'm going to play the listener here. Where are you right now?
I'm stationed down in Jacksonville, Florida right now. I work on Navy submarines.
Okay, man.
Back on the Iraq plan. I haven't seen Timmy since, 01 maybe?
Yeah.
I was up right around the 9/11 time. I said Aunt Joanne's.
Right. And you were, I don't know if I saw it. Did I see you then?
Yeah, we, over on Hines Avenue, we ran into each other.
The compound, that's where I'm at
right
now.
Yeah, the compound. Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Tell everybody, give everybody my love.
Oh, and believe me, when you see him, I just saw Timmy. I personally haven't seen Timmy like in about 2 or 3 years, and I saw him like 2 or 3 weeks ago at a wrestling show. Timmy's getting gray. I got to pick a Timmy. Timmy's growing some wingtips.
It's a sexy look, my wife tells me.
Yeah, I was always the baby growing up around those guys. We got a couple. I got a couple of cousins, Timmy's little brothers, but I was always the baby, so I'm used to him being old.
Okay, yeah,
of course.
But no, nah, this you know.
I'll fix you.
We lost.
Actually,
go ahead, Tim.
Say it again.
I was gonna say we, you know, this is the perfect career for Tim wrestling. I remember when we were little kids, he'd always pretend he was the Incredible Hulk, just go around terrorizing. Motherfuckers.
And Popeye.
And Popeye. Right, that's right.
Oh, but I'm picturing the Hulk, especially with the zombie look. Oh, my God.
Well, people always think, yeah, people with the baby powder, like I said, people think, and I have, like, this green spray that I put on.
All right.
Good job. Good job. And,
yeah.
And there's this green spray that I put on. It's like hair color, but I spray it on my skin, you know, portion to the wind.
All right.
And it actually looks like the Incredible Hulk. People have told me I look like the Incredible Hulk before because I come out with the ripped shirt, the ripped jeans, and it works. That's why I'm going to Hollywood.
So when are you going to make it down my way for some matches?
Well, there's a guy by the name of Frank Goodman that used to live up here, and I'm.
Uh-oh.
He was supposed to book me a couple of times down there, but he never came through. Or he had shows and the shows got canceled. Florida isn't as highly touted, I guess, crowd wise as far as indie shows are concerned.
Nope.
I think it gets good in like Tennessee and North Carolina. But I don't hear too much about Florida. I know Devon and Bubba have a school down there. And, of course, TNA runs out of there, but outside of that, I don't hear too much about indies down there. Are there indies down there, Joe?
There are. They're small. It's like you said, it's mainly towards what traditionally you consider the Southeast, Georgia, Alabama, North Carolina, Tennessee. You know, Florida is really just a bunch of New Yorkers moved down here to retire.
Just a bunch of New Yorkers.
Yeah, that's usually the case, man.
Yankee fuckers.
Hey.
And I don't mean New York Yankee fuckers. I mean, you know, you would call us.
Damn Yankees.
Goddamn Yankees coming down here think they own the place.
You in Jacksonville, too? You in Jacksonville? You down by where they don't talk. They don't move their lips when they talk.
Yeah, down like 45 minutes north of Jacksonville right now. I'm actually in Georgia, but I've got a Jacksonville number because it's so podunk down here. They don't have cell phone numbers.
Oh, man, that's southern as hell. That's dueling banjo southern.
Yeah, I was actually born in the city, but mom moved us down here when I was about 5, so I've been down here for a while.
Yeah, you sure have.
You grew up there. That's end of it. End of story.
Oh, yeah. I grew up here. I grew up just north of Atlanta. I actually went to high school with AJ Styles.
Oh, shit.
Phenomenal. Yeah. He was big into wrestling back then.
That is one dude that I have a lot of respect for, man. AJ is definitely the original as far as X Division is concerned.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he was.
Nobody comes close. Really, I mean, he could be to me, he's on a Rey Mysterio type of level.
Yeah, I came back from C one time, turned on the TV, and dude comes up on TV, AJ Styles. I was like, that's not AJ Styles, that's Alan Jones.
Could you imagine Alan? Well, thanks for putting it out.
Everybody kind of knows.
Yeah, I'm sure down there everybody knows. But you know what? I'm really happy for him. I met him twice, and both times he was a great guy. Never too ahead of himself. Likes to have a good time.
Yeah, he's turned down some better deals to be able to stay at home with his wife and the family and stuff. So.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
He's got his priorities straight.
Ultimately, that's what you aim to do, man. Ultimately, that's what you aim to do. You want to be comfortable and do something you love. That's the goal. As long as the bills get paid and you're comfortable, that's what you aim for.
How's everything with you right now down there, Joe?
Everything's good, you know. I mean, I'm in the one job market that's not really being hurt by the recession war, you know. We're still going at it, but
that's an honor, yeah.
Bigger.
How many times have you been over to Iraq?
I haven't been over to Iraq. I'm on the subs that carry the big missiles. We just go out and we call it doing holes in the ocean. You know, walk quietly and carry a big stick with a big stick.
Now, when you come up here, would you take me out to? Would you have access to take me on board one of those things, or is that off limits?
Yeah, it's off limits.
Okay, I figured that. Jeez.
Timmy's hoping for McHale's Navy type of thing to pop up.
I mean, there's really not a lot to it. It's basically like walking inside of an industrial building that just happens to be in the water. I mean, you got pipes running everywhere, and you know, insulation, and it's solid metal.
Joe, I'm gonna shoot you my number. Do you have my number?
I don't think I have your number. Well, I had it before you.
No. I'm gonna.
Not over the air.
I'll send it through Facebook and I'll give you a call in a little bit.
I didn't mean to hijack your show here.
It's cool, man. We had shit planned for tonight, believe me. So I'm kind of helping steer the ship, but it's ultimately all Timmy. So don't even worry about it. All right, man. We'll let you go. And just get a hold of your cousin. You know, and off air, man. And thanks for calling, man. Be safe. All right, man.
Hey, no problem. God bless.
So, Cross, thanks for calling in. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, take it easy, Tim.
All right, later.
Bye.
Look at that. See, I got fams everywhere, bro.
Yes, you do. You're
Watch yourself. All right, let's get back on topic here. I don't want to lose people.
Well, let me see here. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Damn, you realize I can't control the phone line. What the hell? Oh, there you go. I'm sorry. I lost control of the board for a minute there. I'm like, what the hell? All right. Trickle down theory. It affects wrestling all the way down, blah, 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 blah. And by affecting all the way down, not dissing anybody in particular, but just saying, though, you have to think creativity-wise, I think it kind of limits, or it goes the other way and people think they're king shit when they haven't done enough. That's where I was at.
Okay.
It's either that or I can go into something else completely off wrestling topic. So,
well, didn't you have a talk? Did you have Ricky on a few weeks ago and there was talk about it?
Yeah, we had Ricky on talking about what his experiences were through his eyes.
Okay.
It's the best way to diplomatically put it.
Yes. So what do you, I mean, I heard there was an interpretation of events that occurred at a particular workout for WWF or WWE?
Yeah, it was. I've heard more than one story in regards to the WWE tryouts. To be honest and fair, though, the first time I heard the story was at this point, easy 5 years ago, and I don't remember the details of that story. And then Ricky came on and told his rendition of it. And, you know, it is what it is. Everybody sees things their own way. You know, of course, not every, you know, if there's always more than one person somewhere, everybody's going to pick up their own things or see things the way they're going to see it.
Well, you see, my thing with the whole thing, I heard bits and pieces of what was said, of who froze, who did this, who that. To me personally, it's a non-story in my life, just because it was a workout for WWF. I mean, sure, me and Ricky were supposed to be the only ones there. That was a given. But two other people got to go, and whatever. It was a workout. We pretty much had to beg in order to be seen or to be looked at.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to be perfectly honest, I mean, everybody stood around pretty much all day long, and we were just staying out of the way. And
yeah, you want to be seen, but you don't want to rock the boat.
But that's not the way to do things. At least in my opinion, I think you have to be friendly to a certain extent, and you have to ask questions. You can't just you can't just not say anything. To me, the freezing part wasn't in the ring. The freezing part was standing around all day and not saying anything, and then being, you know, we're waiting until about an hour and a half before they go live, when the whole roster is out behind the ring, around the ring, looking to get the ring and work out. And I think at that point, that's when we asked for a workout. So as you can go and figure, the whole roster was thrilled that they weren't able to work out. And now, because I forgot who mentioned Johnny's name, they felt obligated to now give us a workout, a.k.a. a tryout. But it really wasn't a tryout. It was a workout. And when JBL asked, I believe it was Fit, who is watching us, to give us five more minutes, believe me, it wasn't because there was a five-star match going on in the ring. All right. And I don't know, maybe it's just from experience. Looking back on it now, I see that that's what it was. Maybe at the time I thought otherwise. But to me, my career in Puerto Rico was far, 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 far eclipses that as a moment in my career that I would really discuss or talk about. You know, I mean, even the zombie thing, like that was that to me was Paul Heyman's last great idea. That's the only thing that's the only part of it that I look at. I don't take any credit for it whatsoever. I went in the ring. I there's jokes and stuff about people saying, oh, that was the greatest promo ever and this and that. And people want to see the zombie again, whatever. I mean, if I get the call, I get the call. But to me, that was Paul Heyman's last great idea, because after that, I've gotten booked for the last 3 years solid ever since then.
Yeah.
And that was through a torn quad injury. That was through not being able to wrestle. People just wanting me at the show to run around and say, brains.
Yeah.
And with crutches, and it didn't translate into a WWE contract for me, but it did get me paid what I feel I deserve to be paid after 10 years in the business.
Yeah, hey, man.
But my time in Puerto Rico is much more important to me than those two moments with WWE.
You know what? I'm not going to argue with you on that because me personally, and I've said this countless times, and I think you're the perfect – what you say right now applies to it perfectly, is that I got into the business not to – of course making it would be great, but that's not what I got into it for. I wanted to do something I like – and travel the world. You know what I mean? And travel and see things. And
exactly.
You actually got to do that. Hell, I mean, like I said, we're not looking to do too much of an interview thing, but just to clue in everybody, you went to Puerto Rico, had a hell of an experience, came back with a wife, okay?
I came back with a wife. I'm going to have a kid in the next couple of weeks. How could I not be indebted to this business just for that alone? And I have a wife.
That's the experiences I'm talking about. But you understand what I'm saying. You experience more than just wrestling. Wrestling becomes a vehicle to experience other things.
Exactly. And I did something that so many guys out there failed to do, which is meet a woman in wrestling and successfully carry on a life with that woman without having shit go haywire.
Oh,
like,
yeah. And that
like it happens to so many people. You know, I won't mention names, but it's happened to so many people. My time in Puerto Rico was most valuable, the greatest time in my life. I became a celebrity. I learned how to wrestle there. I didn't know how to wrestle before. I knew the fundamentals of how to wrestle, and I also learned how to...
Don't worry. That's our countdown for the live thing. Nobody else heard it on the live thing. We're going to hear it. So.
Okay, listen. The point I want to make is that you can go to as many WWE tryouts as you want. You can go to 50. You can go to TNA. You can even move to Florida. I know people that have moved to Florida. But unless they want you, you could just forget about it because you're not going to get signed.
Yep.
And you might as well just try to better yourself in the ring.
Yeah.
But you might as well try to better yourself in the ring, work on your craft. You know, paying dues is not working for free in the Northeast for the fucking 10 years of your life. Paying dues is going to a place like Puerto Rico where you don't know the language, learning how to work, learning how to cut promos, learning a different language, maybe meeting a wife, maybe having a kid, and having a good time of it too. And, you know, drinking with guys like the Sandman, Sabu. I wrestled Sabu in Puerto Rico. I would never have gotten the opportunity. I was the first wrestler in Puerto Rico to hold two major titles in two different companies at the same time. Never been done in Puerto Rico by any other wrestler. So yes, I had a great time in Puerto Rico, and I'm, if I could, that's like the greatest place that you can go to wrestle.
Okay, let me just shut it down. All right, we're probably going to go a little bit longer. Hell
yeah, that's fine.
We'll do all the plugs in the post show. Everybody who listens live, thank you. Download if you want to hear what other spew we're going to hear. Hit the music.
How's that, Whip? All right?
Hey, man, we're still, right now we are recording.
We're going, all right.
We're still going, but wait, we got to do it official. Shit, I lost the soundboard, bastard. We actually had a post-game clip, and I lost the board, but it's still recording. So the post-game clip, for those who don't know, what is it? For Major League. It's Bob Uecker from Major League, where he was just like, where am the post-show wrap-up? He's like, where are my notes? Oh, the hell with it. Yeah, so, yeah.
That's on you. I got a funny Bob Uecker story for you. It's actually, I heard it on the Stern Show.
All right.
From Norm MacDonald.
Okay.
Him and Artie went out to Arizona for Cubs spring training.
Right.
And then we're hanging out. They're big baseball fans, so they were hanging out with Bob Uecker. And it was an honor for them to hang out with Bob Uecker. And they sat in the broadcast booth with him. And he has a cough button on his broadcasting console, so that while he's broadcasting the game live, if he hits the cough button, it's kind of like a mute, I guess.
Yeah, every major radio show that goes live usually has a cough button just in case they got a burp or cough, really cough. It's basically a quick mute.
So basically, he would be watching it. He'd be broadcasting the game, and it would be like, and Grace hits a ground ball at the third base. Boy, look at the tits on that chick. Throws it over the first and for the out for the third out of the inning.
That's nice.
Or else, maybe he didn't say tits. Maybe he said, hey, look at the cans on that broad or something like that, like an older guy would.
Oh, but I got to bring up something. This is something I would have liked to bring up. I had two things I wanted to bring up. One was wrestling, one was non-wrestling. But I'm going to try to segue. What? Go ahead.
When will they be able to listen to?
The download will probably be available. Well, obviously anybody who's going to listen to this part of it probably has already downloaded it or is listening to the replay streaming. But basically it'll be made available after we're done. Probably, I would say about an hour, roughly an hour after we're done.
Nice.
It'll be podcasted and people can go to. There's a bunch of links I got to give out at the end of this, where it'll be made available to listen or to download. But the obvious is blogtalkradio.com/the bodega. It's all free. It's free to download any one of these shows. We've been on the air for a year now. It's free to listen, free to download. You know, we're just trying to get the name out there. We have a bunch of other sites that we kind of, quote unquote, our version of syndicating. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great.
But, so.
It's good to get out there, get your name out there.
Plus, it's something to do, man. You know, episode like this, I wouldn't have been into wrestling. I wouldn't have tried to be a rapper, all this other horseshit that I've done or attempted to do in my life if I didn't enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And you know what, man? The older I get, and this is going to sound like some old man shit, but it's the truth. But I guess it's one of those things I realized as I got older. Life does feel kind of short. Maybe it's a midlife crisis, my version of midlife crisis, just being fair. But life does feel short. It's too short. So you know what? If there's opportunities, and I said this on the last show, if there's an opportunity to do something and you're not hurting nobody and you're not hurting nobody or taking food out of anybody's mouth, you know what I mean? Why not? You understand
exactly
what I'm saying? Why not? If it's not hurting nobody and it's not taking money out of your pocket, you know, like as long as your bills are paid and everybody's straight and no one's getting hurt in the process or losing anything, why not?
Well said, Master Fred.
But going way back to, I was going to segue into something and now it's going to be a fucked up segue, but hell with it, since you brought up Howard. I just got to bring up something that happened. Actually, this is topical. It's topical. Happened about 6-7 hours ago. News broke. In New York, a couple of months ago, a woman had a fatal car accident on the Taconic Parkway.
Right, going the wrong way.
Yeah, and she killed herself, her children.
It's like five kids.
Yeah, and then when they did the autopsy, they found out she was drunk. She was really drunk, and she was also stoned on weed.
Right.
All right. And to be fair, this has nothing to do with what I'm going to bring up, but just to make a note, chances are she was probably more likely to cause that accident on being drunk as hell than smoking weed. You just got to defend the pot smokers out there. We got a lot of them.
Well, it makes it, you know what? Pot affects people differently. Like I never really was big into it. It just would make me, I tried it a couple of times. I mean, just like everybody does. And really, honestly, I've always enjoyed drinking more than smoking pot because pot would always, I would just get paranoid and, anxiety, and I just didn't like it.
Yeah, it's not for everybody. That's fine. I for one, have never, ever done it, I'm not bullshitting on it, but everybody I've known has done it, and I've been around plenty of people that have done it. You know, I've been there while they've smoked and stuff. If anything, I'm guilty of secondhand.
I know. Milk and cookies. We're milk and cookies.
Asshole.
and to mention milk, yeah. I'm gonna stay on Friday night.
Well, either way, just to be topical, I was just curious because one of the things that kind of annoyed me about this story, it's an unfortunate accident. All right, it's something that you kind of wish didn't happen due to the kids and such, but it happened. What I didn't like, and this is where it would segue, is that the family, or the husband in particular, hired Howard Stern's fat, bloated attorney, Dominic Barber, as a defense attorney, and talking about they wanted to exhume the body, retest the body, and find out, it couldn't have been the alcohol because she wasn't a drinker, and the husband has never seen her drunk, and never, basically deny.
I got to tell you, I thought you liked to hear yourself talk. that guy, Dominic Barber, he is the worst. They make fun of him all the time on the show. And the show actually gets a bad name because they talk about, when Dominic Barber's name is mentioned, of course, you brought it up yourself. It's because he's on the Howard Stern show at times.
Yeah.
But he's really not a member of the cast or anything like that.
Yeah, he's never been. He's been, like I said, I'll be fair.
He's a mark. He's a mark, you know?
Yeah, exactly. He's been on the show for, 15, 20 years. He's been mentioned on the show. If he hasn't been on the show due to his association with Howard, and it hasn't changed. But that was my segue, for the record, since you brought up that. You know,
okay.
That's what I'm saying. That was going to be my segue, but then we talked about some other shit, and then we came back. So, but just one of the things I noticed was they retested the body, and they released the – did you hear – I'm assuming you heard about this.
No,
About six, seven hours ago, they released the latest autopsy reports. Like, they reexamined the body, okay? And to see if any of the things that Dominic was claiming, that she may have, that she was susceptible to aneurysms, that she had problems with her legs – I don't have the news story in front of me, but basically a lot of the claims they were making, that could have attributed to the accident, that it couldn't have been drinking or smoking, all of it was disproven. All of it. If anything, they still found alcohol in her body.
They still found alcohol in her body.
Yeah, and all the claims, every single claim of the other things that Dominic was throwing out there that they wanted, to test her for, it was disproven. It was completely disproven.
I don't know. That guy's an asshole.
I just wanted – I mean I was going to get your opinion, but you just saying that guy's an asshole. That answer,
No, I'm sorry. Dominic Barber, I told you, he loves to hear himself talk. I mean, he was involved in another case not too long before that. I mean, that where he was – and what was the other case that Dominic Barber was
– I don't even remember, to be honest with you. I really –
the car accident, and wasn't there – right, yeah. So, yeah, the guy just likes to hear himself talk. I don't know,
It's just.
Are you pissed off about the weed part?
I'm not pissed off.
Where you're going with this.
No, I wasn't going nowhere. I wasn't really going nowhere with it. You know what it is. Also, I got to be fair. I can't. I'm animated now, but at other times of the day, I'd probably be very animated, And
right.
Dustin would probably sound like a maniac, which would probably contribute more to this conversation because I'd be yelling into the microphone. But it's just one of those things that me personally, just annoyed me that, you know, he went out there, and it's a fucked up story. Why would you want to drag it out further? Like, it really makes the husband look like a fucking it makes him look like a liar. Like he's really trying to cover up some things that he knows. Like he's trying to do damage control. You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. It's just like, why? It's a fucked up situation. Just the man, if you lost your wife and kids, either he's 100% right, and he really, you know, either he's 100% right, or he's just fooling everybody, and you have to think, with the shit they found in her system, he knows he's lying.
Right.
He knows he's fucking lying. You know, now, the pot thing I only brought up just to defend the pot smokers because I was just a little notation. It was nothing particular. It was one of those things where, with me personally,
that's okay.
I don't agree with the whole drinking and driving, nor smoking weed and driving, but you know what? I know more people to fuck up under the influence of alcohol and drive than weed. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So I just want to defend some of my pot smokers out there who are like they've driven a motherfucking car high as a motherfucking kite. So I just want to defend y'all. Not that I should, but I'm just putting that out there.
Okay. Double
advocate, goddamn.
Whip it. If WWE called you tomorrow and they said, "All right, we want to offer you a 2-year contract," what would you do?
Well, given my current position, I'd take it.
Really?
But I take it, yeah. But I would take it because of
family and all.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but then again, you know what? To ask me that question, and you have to look at the position I'm in right now, and financially, I have never ever looked a gift horse in the mouth. Nor do I. I try to. I'm trying to think of the right term. You gotta forgive me. I'm kind of like I feel sleepy. But I've never, like I said, gift horse in the mouth, and I never try to take advantage of people, but not lose opportunities. So like I put it like this: if there's guaranteed money on there, it's more money than I want to make it now. And for 2 years, considering right now I'm in between jobs due to the recession, and it would be doing something I love, even if I don't agree with the angle, it's something because at the end of the day, even if let's say after those 2 years. The wrestling career doesn't work out in WWE, right? Let's say – because it happens to a ton of guys. Guys who go there and nothing happens with their careers, right?
No, well, I was asking you because I know that, you know, your situation – I mean, not to get too personal, but I know that you have a wife there and you have kids and stuff like that, and me being an expecting father too. Like that's always been my dream, and I know that if I was contacted, even if it was the second day after my wife had our son, I would be on the next plane to wherever the show was.
Yeah,
so I was just.
That's a good question. See,
and
I know that
the back end of it is that you left the business to sacrifice for your family.
Yeah, see, that's now I see where you were going. See, that,
so would you be able? Do you think
see,
that you would be able? To?
See, no. See, I've spoken about this in bits and pieces, like my ultimate opinion on it.
Because I mean, people that know us, that's what they would want to.
Yeah,
I think. I mean, now that we're on the, I guess what would you call it, the wrap up show or
it's the post show. That's all it is. Post game wrap up, whatever you want to call it. Either way, it's all podcasted, so don't worry about it.
I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
You know what? It's a weird thing, but the way I see it right now, just the first things that come to my mind is, if you have young children, you know, if you have young children, I don't think it's a good look just because, you know, those are the early years. You will miss out on a lot in that respect. Not speaking
yes.
even in general. My kid, for me, I would jump on it for the reasons being that my children are older. Money is tight right now.
Right.
So it would be a steady paycheck, but everything's situated. So
but it's your dream. It's your dream. It's everything that you want to do.
Oh yeah. It's basically, but at this point in my life, the jump on it, my youngest is 7 years old. You know what I mean? So for me to do something like that, oh, he'd get a kick out of it because he's at an age of understanding. He knows who his father is. You know what I mean?
Right. So you
I'm never going to be completely – and there we have a home. If anything, taking the gig would mean we could get into something better. You
exactly.
Understand what I'm saying? So in that respect, I would go and do it now. I wouldn't have done it earlier on, though, because the circumstances are different. This is the thing that I wouldn't do. This is the thing that I found it difficult to do and why I didn't do it, is the amount of sacrifice you realistically have to make to get to that level, though, to even be considered.
I mean, it's fucked up. It really is, and that's why.
You have to be a prodigy. The only way to get in without that much sacrifice is to be a prodigy and get on everybody and politic your ass off. You know what I mean? And cut every corner.
I do think it's possible, though. I mean, because I know, I mean, I don't really know him too personally. I've spoken to him a couple of times, but I just know that over the years, and he has a great relationship with his son, because that's really very important to me in my life right now, the relationship that I'm going to have with my son-to-be. And I know Steve Corino had his son, and now his son's getting into wrestling. I can't believe it, but I remember he would write when he was an ECW champion. He would write Colby on his wrist tape.
Yes.
All the time. So he never, and he always, and I always followed his career because I liked him as the ECW champion. I really bought him legitimately, like, you know, as like, look at this skinny punk with a pot belly coming in here, and he's the ECW champion. And he won me over, and I followed him throughout his career. But the one thing that always I was impressed with him was that he was always focused on his kid, and he never let the business take him away from that.
Yeah, but see, that's always
where he went.
You're gonna always have two people that do that. Not to cut you off intentionally.
Right.
I'm just saying, but that's the thing, though. See, I walked away from it because I was at a point in the business where I still knew there was a hell of an uphill climb. And the truth be told, I had nothing situated on the home front. You know what I mean?
And there was nothing guaranteed on the wrestling end.
There was nothing guaranteed. I was lucky if I was, I mean, at my peak, I was making over $100 a shot. But they were few and far between. And the amount of sacrifice that I needed to make basically was going to leave my family up in the air, you know what I mean? Like there was no guarantee that we were gonna have our own place. You understand what I'm saying? Like stuff like that just kind of bugged me. So I was like, you know
scary
what?
Scary shit. It's scary shit.
It's a hell of a gamble. It's like you're already jumping into a business that's putting your body on the line, and it could disappear at any moment. But then to know that there's no guarantee you're gonna come home to a roof over your head, and you know you have an uphill climb, and you know the sacrifice going in. It's a hell of a lot easier to do it as a single guy or when you just have a girlfriend that you see on and off, you know what I mean? Where
right.
You're not fully committed. I jumped into a fully committed relationship with children already. I could not take that gamble. I could not take the sacrifice. Necessary to do it. A lot of guys do it, and the truth be told, the relationships fall apart. Okay, it's the margin is very, very slim. You okay?
Absolutely. Because
now, not to take away, like you were saying with kids, that's a different thing though. With kids, case in point, like even Sandman. Sandman has a great relationship with his kids. He doesn't have a, you know, he's cool with, you know, their mother, but there is no relationship there. The relationship was sacrificed. The relationship, you know, with the family unit was sacrificed, but he maintained a relationship with the kids because Lord knows, even if you're a bum, if you care about your kids, you're going to make an effort no matter what. So even if you're a wrestler and you're on the road and your home life falls apart on a relationship, you know, with the spouse, what have you, falls apart, or if your marriage falls apart, what have you, you know, you're still going to... If you care anything about your child, you are going to still – your focus then becomes I'm doing everything for my kid.
Right.
So you will have that relationship.
Now, what do you think of – if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
What do you think of the current situation at Gleason's Gym with the way that they're running shows and doing things?
I can't – to be honest, I'll give you my opinion. But okay. I got to preface it, and this is not a cop-out. It's got to preface it with...
And then if you don't mind, if you don't mind, I'll give my opinion after you.
No, that's fine. Wait, you're asking me questions, but I'll just say, let me preface it with being fair. I have not been there nowhere near enough to give a true, honest opinion, okay? And everything I know, and it's not a lot to be fair, is through secondhand. Okay, so to be fair, any opinions I have right now are not really well educated at all. It's really secondhand information, bits and pieces. And to be fair, I know less than 10 guys that are still there. You know what I mean? Out of the guys that I came up with, you, Mac Daddy Flex, Sweet Bobby G, who's not even there as a worker anymore.
No, he's not.
Here, you understand what I'm saying? Like the guys that I came up with are few and far between. Now, based on what I know and based on what I there's a lack, I don't know if this is part of the guys who are helping to create the characters, but I think there's a little lack of creativity, but that's just my opinion. But that's also, to be fair, I also had the luxury of coming up under a very colorful group of guys. You know what I mean? So to be fair, that also could be me speaking out my ass, because maybe I got a little bit spoiled on being around guys who range from yourself to Prince Nana to Matt Stryker to Angel of the Baldies to Boogaloo. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're talking about top-notch guys, and it's also a case where it's similar to WWE. There's really like nobody that is really a leader there. Like at all times, there's always leaders. There was Tommy Dreamer, who was there, who was a leader. It was Devon Dudley. Then there was Angel. Then there was we all shared different responsibilities.
Yeah, there was, and also I would also say, and this is something I also kind of noticed. Maybe
Ricky was a leader at a time.
Yeah, I mean, we all go through it. Like I'm still, like, to be fair, I still get amazed that as much as I tear my own self down and have you guys tear me down on the regular, I've been told numerous times that I was one of the guys that I got looked up to at a certain extent, which I find it hard to believe, because I've never looked at myself like that. The way I treated it, the way I looked at it is, yeah, you had your leaders. Yeah, you had your older guys that made sure that when push came, they were the ones that made sure shit got done when needed to get done, that everybody remembered. But at the end of the day, I think all of us also were so hardcore about trying to learn more, about trying to get better, that at the end of the day, this is where the creativity comes in. I think we pushed each other, and not pushed each other subliminally, but in the sense of, we had an idea that we knew couldn't work for us, or if we had an idea that was so ridiculous, that we just like,
you could throw it out for somebody else.
You would, yeah. We were always constantly giving each other ideas. We were each other's big, and a lot of time during that period of time, we were each other's biggest fans. I would like to put it, we were like a brotherhood in the sense that there wasn't an ego where we didn't give a shit about the belt, because we're not getting paid.
Well, there you go.
There's no
exactly.
Prize. It was
exactly.
It was like, let's see how much fun we can have, like, well, let's have fun with it. Granted, we were probably, it's probably sophomoric thinking.
Well, fuck that.
But I think it elevated, in hindsight, I think it elevated us at the same time.
To me, it not only was it having fun, but it was also paying dues, too.
Okay, paying dues, I have a separate opinion on the paying dues, because
I'm going to give you my opinion first on what we were discussing before, what I had asked you about what you thought about the current setup.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, creativity, you're saying the paying dues. Go ahead. Go.
As far as creativity and as far as paying dues is concerned, now, I pay my – if you pay your dues, the dues are the monthly gym dues at the gym on top of your training. I don't feel it should be necessary that you should have to pay $10 every show or $15 every show for production – of videos and a website.
I didn't know that. That's new.
Never see. Yes, every worker there, every show, you have to pay $10 to $15. You know, out of respect for the person, I won't mention his name, but everybody knows who he is. And honestly, there was never a vote, which is what should have been done. That if we want all of this, would you be willing to do this? I don't feel like I should have to go to a show after being there for 10 to 15, for the last 10 or 11 years, and I'm really just there to help out the talent and to try to teach the students to turn them into talent. I don't feel that I should have to pay $10 to $15 a show. I don't feel that a kid that just started and has been there for 2 weeks should have to pay $10 to $15 a show. Not after he shells out X amount of dollars for the lifetime membership and also monthly gym dues. It's a fucking recession, and you shouldn't have to pay extra money for you're not getting anything back. I mean, you can even make kind of a case, okay, pay $10 a show, everybody gets a copy of the DVD. They charge for DVDs. You have to pay on top of your $10, on top of your gym dues, on top of your membership for the gym. You have to pay additional money now.
Oh shit! I'm sorry. I hear the hand slap. That's it. Timmy got his thug ass hand slapping going on. People, listen up.
Oh, because you know what? It's gone on for long enough, and this goes back to the WWE tryout where I think I was the one that finally ended up saying something. Nobody wanted to say anything, and I'm always the one that opens my mouth first, so I am opening my mouth. That's why a number of veterans have left, and you know what? When you go to the gym and you're training there for 2 months and you're thrown into your first match because you sold 20 tickets, you're not paying dues. You're not doing anybody any favors. You're not building up these kids the way that they need to be built up.
See,
the way that
this is new information. This is new. This out of all information I got, this was information I did not get.
I trained for a year and a half before I could referee my first match.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So forgive me for being a little bit bitter with the way that things are going right now down at the gym.
Hey man, I still got an issue with the money thing because I mean the ticket selling thing is expected. The ticket selling thing, but the shell out money like that for production.
I mean it's an economic recession.
It doesn't make sense. This is where I say
you shouldn't have to walk in one day.
No. I'm just saying it doesn't make sense because this is also you can relate this to exactly what I said. We were a core group of guys where, because we wanted to have those production values or at least the best that we can get, which was record the shows with let's say a three-man an announce table. Okay, what did we do?
You and I both know Guy was willing to do it for next.
Guy brought in his equipment. If it wasn't Lou, if it wasn't Boogaloo Lou, our boy Juan Jeremy would bring in the audio, the audio equipment for the music, okay? And then for the three-man table, big up to Billy Garcia, the Spanish Fly. He was injured. Why not? He said, sure. He'll sit at the table. He was injured. And we rotated the guys, you know what I mean? And they usually wound up being Flex and Damien because they wound up working best. But we would rotate the guys. But it was something we all wanted to do, and the truth be told, Johnny kind of took a fatherly attitude of like, fine, we'll do it because you guys want to do it, but you guys have to bring this. But you got, you know what I mean? It fell on us. He stressed us over it, but we had to supply the stuff. We had to hook it up. We had to make it happen. Okay? To have that control kind of be spoken for without really double checking and then be expected to put out.
Something's got to be
without
fed.
Checking, I don't agree with that one bit because
You shouldn't be told when you walk in for a show. Oh, you have to give me $10 or $15 on top of paying your gym dues and on top. The show should be a reward. I'm sorry, but if you're getting X amount of dollars for a membership, if you're getting X amount of dollars, well, Bruce gets the money for the gym dues I guess the monthly gym dues.
Yeah.
And I do understand you have to pay a certain amount of rent. But if you're getting X amount of dollars, there shouldn't be any extra. And I don't fault Johnny for this really so much because I think that the person that we're talking about went upon himself to bring in a production crew.
I got to tell you, I agree with you.
I think it's one person or two people or three people, a three-person staff that work the cameras. And honestly, like you said, GQ Guy was willing to do it for nothing. So why does everybody have to pay money, $10 to $15 every show? It's bullshit.
It doesn't. I put it like this: if the boys want it that bad, okay,
you should do a vote.
They should do. Well, I put it like this: if they're gonna bring in something like that, it should be it should be agreed upon by everybody in the story. It should be a majority rules. That's one. Two is also, it doesn't hurt to check to see if any of the guys have access to that stuff or would be interested in contributing and adding. Because
yeah, so good.
We all did it. We all, I mean, and I'll be fair. I'm not, when I say we, I mean the boys, not me per se. But I'm saying they, like, guy wanted to do it. Guy didn't mind doing it for a period of time. He contributed. The guys who brought in the audio equipment didn't mind contributing. They did it for a period of time. It was a pain in the ass. It was a hassle, but they didn't mind doing it at the end of the day. It got tiresome after a while, and they stopped doing it. And you know what? That only makes sense. You know, you got to kind of pass the torch. Hey, anybody else got anything they could, you know, does anybody else got equipment they could bring in? That's fine. You know,
I'm the last person. You know, I'm the last person to try and rock the boat, and I'm not trying to rock the boat here. Honestly, I am not trying to rock the boat.
You're just trying to point out an obvious. I don't fault you for that.
I'm pointing out the obvious because there's a lot of guys, and hopefully some of you are listening right now. Maybe some of you are no longer at the gym right now, and maybe that's the reason why you left is because it's bullshit, and because if you don't speak up, especially in this business, you're not going to get anything.
But the truth be told also, from what I saw also is, and this is not a knock against any of the young guys, man. I'm just saying, but you know what? The young guys are just that in this situation. They're young. They're novice. They're kind of going with the flow, and they're going to just go with for lack of a better term, they're going to go with what the elders suggest. Or tell, you understand what I'm saying? Because because it can't be viewed as disrespect, even though, truthfully, in this situation, it's not disrespect.
No.
Disrespect is going in the ring and trying to take advantage and do stuff that you aren't prepared for yet. You know what
and,
I mean?
And I'll give you the flip side. I also don't agree with certain people that feel that Johnny Rods should be doing something for them. This is the flip side because there's a lot of bullshit on the flip side. I spoke about something that I'm not happy with there, but I'm also there's a bunch of veterans that feel betrayed by Johnny because he didn't get them a job somewhere or because they had to pay to go and train someplace else at some other Hall of Famer or named school, and because they haven't gotten anywhere, so they've grown bitter and now they're mad at Johnny and taking it out on him. Johnny doesn't owe anybody anything. He'll try to teach you the game the best way he knows how, but nobody should expect him to have to do anything for you.
Yeah, that, you know what, if you're going where you're going, like I said, there's a lot of, I'll put it like this, I'm one of the people involved in all this, just for everybody who's listening, there what Timmy was kind of alluding to is that there was a little bit of a civil rivalry is the best way to put it, or as diplomatic as I could put it. And I happen to get along with all sides of it because I have no reason to really be mad at anybody particularly. But, you know what? At this point, the parties, the people that we're talking about are all about the age of 30, if not older.
Absolutely.
We're all grown-ass men, all right, one. Two, unless you're in the WWE or even in TNA or Ring of Honor for that matter, it's not worth it, okay? And three, you know what? If you know how to go in there and you know how to do the goddamn thing, if you know how to get in that ring and do the damn thing, then you got what you paid for. End of story.
That's it.
I used to
the fundamentals and the basics, and if you actually listen, you actually learn how to handle yourself too.
I'll put it like this. I'll give you a perfect example. Jimmy Hustler, God rest his soul. Me and Jimmy used to get into debates because we wouldn't get into full-blown arguments because me and Jimmy were always able to walk away from it still friends. Like none of it was taken personally, but we'd get into some heated conversations, disagreements, because he didn't agree a couple of, like I would say about 2 or 3 years before he passed away. He really didn't agree with some of Johnny Rods's methods and beliefs on how to approach the business after the gym or besides the gym. You know, and one can say some of the stuff you're talking about now is kind of a continuation of that. Not directly from Jimmy, but on the same principles, founded on the same principles.
Jimmy's thing
was is that if you stay at the gym, Johnny has his favorites. He's going to push his favorites. He's not going to push other guys. He doesn't want you going out there on the independent circuit because there's a fee that he can get, or he can, you know, like there was a whole bunch of
things. Yeah, Johnny.
There's a list of reasons, and I used to tell him, I was like, you know what, though? I'll be fair to play it down the middle. Johnny, in the years I was there, did favor certain guys more than others. Didn't mean he ignored anybody else. By no means am I saying he ignored anybody. Certain guys got a little bit more than others. It happens. It happens in all walks of life. But by no means did he freeze anybody out either, okay?
No.
Like, perfect example is we talked about this guy. I talked about this guy with Jose, this guy we know as Radu or Sid. He was like a 7-foot guy. He was a piece of shit. Johnny really got behind him, though, because he was a huge guy. He was like 7 feet tall, and he was in shape, all right? He had the look. He had nothing else. So I
don't
fool
Johnny.
Don't
fool Johnny because you're a fool and because he got over on you. I mean, he taught you pretty much what you should know in the business.
This is where me and Jimmy used to get into debate. Like, so Jimmy would come up with all these.
Johnny has a family to support, too.
Exactly. So I put it like this. As long as at the end of the day, even, like I said, the favoritism thing, you heard, I said what I already had to say on it. You know what I mean? By no means was he freezing anybody out. Did he take two certain guys more?
It's a school.
So that's my – but this is my point. But this is my point. Like, so I used to say was at the end of the day, though, one of the biggest things, and I know it to be true, is that he didn't want none of the guys rushing out either because he didn't want to see them get played, get used, or get hurt. So at the end of the day, he's still worried and trying to protect you. But at times, egos, attitude, the false promises of what little bit of money you can get out of the business, okay, at this level, if you get any money out of it, to be honest, which Timmy already started talking about in the beginning of the show.
Yeah, WWFF. Wrestlers who work for free.
I defended.
Why can't I get that right?
Because it's
triple WFF. Workers who work for free. Right?
Yes. WWFF.
Yes.
And, you know, me and Jimmy would get into these debates. By no means would we take anything personal, though. You understand what I'm saying? We never took it personal. He was just like, okay, well, you know what I mean? Like, he respected how I saw it. And I used to tell him, I was like, dude, he just doesn't want to see you get hurt, played, or this. And Jimmy would say, well, I'm still getting my money. So you know what? You can't be mad at Jimmy either. Jimmy would be out there. Jimmy said he was getting paid. He was making his money doing what he had to do.
Jimmy,
you know what?
Jimmy learned. Jimmy went out there.
And the truth
he
is,
started
Jimmy,
doing shows. He started doing shows. And you know what? Jimmy
got what he paid for, it too. It did all of us.
Jimmy,
if you went in
Jimmy
there and you learned how to wrestle and you went out there and got booked, you know what? Even if Johnny didn't want you going out there, going for bookings, if you were able to go out there and get booked, then
Jimmy,
you know,
had a very good
shitty or not shitty, you got what you paid for.
And just speaking about Jimmy, I mean, he was far from the best wrestler that I've ever seen, but Jimmy had a good business sense, and he would get booked on shows everywhere.
Yeah.
And he even started his own company at one point. That's an example of Jimmy taking the tools that he learned from Johnny and turning it into something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, even if
there's too many guys.
It applies. What me and you both are seeing, it applies all around. It's like, you know what? He learned the business. He did learn the business. So, like, in hindsight, even if he didn't agree with certain things, he still learned the business, and he still got what he paid for. He still got what he went to Gleason's in the first place for out of it, which is because Lord knows there's a ton of fly-by-night trainers. There's a ton of fly-by-night schools.
You know, sadly enough, if things continue the way they are, that's what Gleason's is going to turn into. I mean, because honestly, like all of the veterans are disgusted, and I speak for every single one of them because we all talk, and I'll be the one to get shit for this, no doubt. But you know what? Since day one, I look at Johnny like a father, because my father was never, no, but legitimately for me, he really was like a father because I never really, my dad was never really there for me, and I'm not looking for sympathy or anything. I'm just making a point. When I was in Puerto Rico, I was down on my luck at first. When I first started down there, I would call him. He would tell me what I did wrong. There's some guys that I would talk to when I was in Puerto Rico that would run back, that I would tell them that I was bummed out, and then they'd run back to Johnny and say, oh, Timmy's bummed out. And then I would hear that Johnny said, oh, well, Timmy can't make it down there, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I don't buy any of that. Johnny taught me what he taught me. Like I said, I looked at him like he was a father to me. But honest to God, I mean, things are not going very well down there right now, and people are not happy. People are not happy.
Okay, I got a better question for you then.
You got guys that don't even know how to do a proper arm drag.
Well, that's what I was going to lead into. I mentioned creativity. Now you
and they're champions, and they're champions because they sold tickets, and that's bullshit. That's Frank Goodman USA Pro ticket seller bullshit.
Yes, that is.
This isn't a Fed. It's a school. The people who are veterans who maybe had a cup of coffee in a particular company, they're vicariously trying to live Vito said it best. They're play wrestling, but now there's a new one that I'll invent. They're play promoting and they're play booking, and they're play trying, but it's real money that they're playing with, and it's not good because.
Like I said, it's hard for me to speak on anything in detail like you can.
I don't want to keep reiterating, but
no, I hear you, man. No, you got something to say, brother. You got to say that shit.
I will reiterate on the reiteration.
but one of the things I was going to ask you was, now here's another thing, and this could stir up some shit among the young dudes, and I'm not hating on any of the young dudes, all right? But sometimes, like I said, I'm not there during the training. Okay, and this is one of the things that did get back to me, and I've heard this now for years, and I'm not hearing like any change in it either. Would you say there is a lack of heart in the training?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I had a talk with one of the guys that I guess has been around there for a few years now. He's getting to a level. Well, he's kind of gotten built up to a level where he feels that he's at a certain level, but he's really not that high yet. And again, I don't want to mention any names, but the reason why I could say that, and the reason why, is because he gave me a specific example. I was there training a month ago, and this kid who is supposed to be a new leader there, and he has like a pack of new students that kind of follow him around.
Okay.
He got done working out, and first off, while people are working out in the ring, he was lifting weights. Now I don't know, maybe Johnny changed has changed his policy over the years. Maybe he's changing himself a little bit over the years. But I know that when I started, I tried to do that, and I got ripped a new asshole for working out with weights while guys are in the ring training. Because when there's guys training, you should be in the ring training or teaching a new guy.
Because
if you're working out with weights, you're going into business for yourself. And that's not what the wheel is about that Johnny has always taught me. And I'm not saying that what Johnny does is bullshit, but what Johnny says is bullshit, but a lot of things seem to have changed since I was training there. And the example that I want to make is that I was there a month ago, and this particular person who's supposed to be a leader now takes his gear off and puts it on and starts getting changed on the ring apron and takes his gear off and his wet, smelly socks and puts them on the ring apron and takes his boots off and puts them on the floor and starts walking around barefoot. Next thing you know, one of the new guys, I believe it, I'm not going to mention names again, but it was a new guy. He'll know who he is if he hears this.
All right.
He starts taking his boots off on the ring apron. And it sets a bad precedent. And, you know, I had to go and say something about it. And it seemed to go by the wayside. So who knows? Maybe some of the principles that I was taught with aren't being translated forward. But it really is kind of a bad feeling down there right now.
Well, I put it like this. I spoke to somebody recently. I'm not going to mention it. I spoke to somebody recently who's also there. one of the old timers, which should really narrow it down. That's not named Tim Arson. and he did point out some of the exact things you're saying. And is this, maybe it's this me? I mean, I came up when Angel was there. I came up when Larry Briscoe was there. I came up when this guy, Mr. Clean, was there. Kid Willie Mato, Vito. these guys were in there.
Could you imagine
something like that?
I was just going to say.
You were told once. You were told,
can you imagine,
don't do that. And if you did it again, you can flip that.
Taking your boots off outside the fucking ring and putting them on the ring apron while Vito was there?
You couldn't.
I couldn't just imagine. I couldn't fathom what would happen. I mean, everybody. Yes, Vito has always been a little bit of a hard ass. But you know what? If it wasn't for Vito, I wouldn't have been the ECW zombie because it was Vito who told me to stay where I was when the other guys who went there to train, who went there for a tryout, worked out in the ring during the day at SmackDown. And this was the first episode of ECW 2. They worked out in the ring in front of the agents.
Yeah.
As soon as the agents left, of course, they think that, you know, all opportunity is gone. It was Vito who told me backstage, no, listen, you shut your fucking mouth. You sit right here on this crate, right in the walkway where everybody walks around backstage in my workout gear, and you shut your mouth. And I sat there, and sure as shit, not 10 minutes later, everybody's heard the story already, but Tommy and Paul were there, and that's how I got appointed as the zombie.
Hey, man, it's like this. I put it like this. I'm being completely honest. I'm one of those people that was, but actually, there was a lot of us, but I was one of those people that were intimidated by Vito, okay? But the truth be told, when Vito was there, you either had to come correct or not come at all. Vito's one of those people that made you realize, are you really trying to do this? Or
well,
are you beating around the bush? I mean, look, but Vito, I put it this. There was a bunch of guys there that tested you in hindsight. It is the way I see it. Tested you in different ways. Like Larry would test you in a certain way, and Larry wouldn't even talk to you.
No,
Larry would do it.
No.
Larry was all physical. Vito would automatically start getting in the ass,
Larry,
before even touching you. Okay, but the thing is, those guys taught you different things on a different level. You know what I mean? They taught you, ultimately, it all amounted to respect and how to do things. You know what I mean? And I do have to say, and this is not knocking the old timer, this is not knocking the older guys, but maybe there's just not enough of them there, or enough of them that just kind of threw their hands up at this point. Like, okay, not knocking you, because obviously you do give a shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm not too far off whip from purpose.
But then I'm saying, like, I think it's becoming few and far between is what I'm saying.
I said, and I've told a number of the veterans, and I've told a number of the guys that are still there now that are going into veteran status of Gleason's, and I'm not talking about in the business. Let me just make that perfectly clear.
Yeah, we're not talking about it. We're talking about local New York area Gleason wrestling.
I compared to Vito, I'm a pimple on the ass of wrestling. And I've talked to a lot of the veterans, and I've told them that I will be the guy to change things. I'll be the guy to come in there, and at least if I'm there, I'll do everything I can to affect what's going on. Who knows? Maybe after I do this interview with you tonight, maybe that'll be the end of Tim Arson and WW. But at this point, there's a lot of things going on in my life. I love this business. I love Johnny like a father. And I think he knows that, and I'm confident that what I am saying, and I'm confident that the majority will rule, and that things will change around there. I've kind of been building my case, and I think the things will change around there eventually, very soon.
Hey, man, I put it like this. You know what? The only way things change sometimes is, and it's fucked up, is through repetition. You ain't got to be, in my opinion, you don't have to be an asshole about it. But you know what? Sometimes you just have to, you know, everybody has their ways. Sometimes you just got to, the best way to explain it is like Larry. Like, we brought up Larry Briscoe, who was a guy who helped train us. All right. If you didn't know how to take a snap mirror, or let's say you fucked up on a certain bump, a certain fall, he, or this, you did a snap mare. Let's say if you messed up on a snap mare, he'd give you another 10. He wouldn't be mean about it, but he'd give you another 10 in a row. You were bound to, you were either, you're going to pick it up or you ain't cut for it. All right. And like I said, he was an asshole about it. And maybe that personality, maybe that type of personality is needed right now. It's someone who is not afraid to say, hey, I told you once, let's do this again. Because the truth of the matter also is, you'll also weed out all the bullshit on the same level. You know what I mean?
Right.
You'll know, yeah. Also know automatically who don't want who's gonna beat around the bush about getting in that ring. A lot of guys didn't want to get in there with Vito. I didn't, but you know what? He was there. I did because I knew I wasn't gonna get no respect by not going in there.
But you need a massive overhaul of everything in order for things to change. Because you can do that, what you just said, but then if that same kid that's doing the fucked up snapmare sells 20 tickets, he's gonna be the or whatever, the fucking Rumbo and Dumbo trophy champion or whatever. and I'm not shitting on that because for whatever it's worth, if you deserve it, if you've worked hard, I feel like you should get it. But when I say whatever the fuck it is, the Rumbo and Dumbo trophy champion, because that's really what it is right now. You really haven't earned, in my opinion, in that ring to be a Rumbo and Dumbo trophy champion. If you want to have any precedence towards anything, you know, you really haven't earned to be the East Coast whatever champion. I mean,
it breaks down like this, man. You got to be willing to get in there and take a bump.
It's a school.
You got to be willing to go in.
It's not a federation.
It's a school. Here's a perfect example. Here's my mentality when I started, all right? And I'm willing to bet you none of these cats do this. And this is not me picking at them, but this is the type of mentality. So if any of you youngins are listening to this, I doubt. But here's the type of mentality you gotta adopt, is I went in there, when I was living in Brooklyn, I would show up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon during the week. Let's say if I didn't have class, if I wasn't going to school, if I wasn't working at the time, or if I was off on, let's say, a Tuesday, I'd show up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon planning, saying, I'm going to be there for a couple of hours. That was the plan. Nobody was there. I'd go and I talk to Johnny for a little bit or what have you. If the conversation would slow down, I'm not beating around the bush waiting for somebody to come in. I'm going in the back. I'm changing. I'm getting in that ring, and I'm going to run my own spots. I'm going to run my own drills. All right, I'm basically going to push my own self because I want it that bad. All right, I'm a big butt, big ass, doofy Puerto Rican. And I have to think I got somewhat good by pushing my own self to that point. I was there when my man right now, Tim Arson, was there, and they pushed him to the point where he was ready to throw up. And he got to that point, took a minute, got his composure, went back in there for more. You got to really want it. I suggest some of y'all adopt that kind of attitude where, you know what, you got to be willing to push yourself to the brink and then come back for more. Because that's the only way you're going to know if you're cut for it. Because we've also watched a lot of motherfuckers fall by the wayside who, at the first time they blew up, they gave up. When they felt they were doing nothing but drills for 2 weeks, they gave up. When they felt that taking 50 to 100 bumps in one day was too much, they gave up. If y'all ain't doing that right now, y'all catching a free pass, and you're not learning right. Because the truth be told, even some dudes that we brought up that right now kind of, like I said, created that civil war and got issues with Johnny, though, I'll even defend them and say the older ones, for the record, the older ones out of that group still went in there and busted their ass the right way. That's all I got to say about that. Oh, man. Did I lose you, brother? Tell me I lost him. Uh-oh.
Are you there?
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm sorry about that.
He left me hanging. I was hung up.
No, I'm still here.
No, but I just went off. I went off on a little tangent. I'm sorry.
I heard you. No, I heard the whole thing. But the thing, and it's funny because what I said was it's going to fall on deaf ears.
Yeah, it probably will. But hey, but, you know what? It feels good to say it.
Yeah, no, but you made an excellent point. You know, unless these guys really want to change things, it's not going to happen. And there's nobody really to show them how to do it. And the person that is there that could possibly show them how to do it is wrapped up in his own delusions of grandeur, you know, getting $10 to $15 from people at every show.
You forget, man. That's what I'm saying. I told a couple people this. I'll tell you this, man. I told, and for anybody who cares, if there's a reason why I would go back there, it's because it still is home base for me. And the truth is, I would go back because I enjoy performing even at, let's say, school wrestling shows. You know what I mean? And I get an enjoyment. I still get that enjoyment of hanging out with guys and throwing around ideas. Even if those ideas aren't going to apply to me or my character, I get an enjoyment out of throwing around ideas and seeing them in play. So that's the reason why I would go back. And maybe some of y'all motherfuckers need to, and not you, by you, I don't mean my wonderful co-host, but y'all motherfuckers right now maybe need to adopt that kind of attitude. The only way that we got better is, yeah, we had older guys pushing us. We had older guys testing us. You know what I mean? And then we had older guys kicking our ass to see what we were made of. And once they saw what we were made of, if we were cut, then we learned some more. Then we really learned some more. All right? But the truth is we all helped each other out. We spread around the ideas. We weren't afraid to tell each other, work on this. Take this better. We weren't afraid to do a bump, to do a stupid shoulder tackle. Johnny wouldn't even be watching. Our trainer would not even be watching.
No. Nope.
And we'd rerun a shoulder tackle 20 times with a guy who's our peer, not even one of the older guys, just because one of our peers told us it was because at the end of it, we're all wrestling fans. We all know when it looks like shit. Are any of y'all doing that?
No, they're
That's
not.
What you need to look.
They're not.
That's
and
what
I'm not even
look.
There. I'm not even there, but I hear from other guys and stuff like that, and it's just they're just not. And unfortunately, the guys that I do speak to, they're really not in a position to really do anything to change it because they're about to clip the wings too, they're about to leave the nest too. So I'm trying to help the people that I believe can make it. The you know the Jorge Santis of the world, the Chris Minions of the world, the you know.
You don't have to go down the list. We,
yeah.
And those who
you know who you are
following us, who have been following us this far, who know the players, they know. All right, you know what? Because we definitely went on a tangent. We definitely got.
We sure did.
I have one question. Can I throw one other question for you? It may get you on another tangent. Hopefully,
go ahead.
We won't go back 15 minutes.
I don't want to beat the Gleason's dead horse anymore.
Here's something. It is wrestling related, but it's something I actually thought about the other day. All right,
okay.
And this is I thought would probably apply. And just to inform everybody, like we mentioned earlier, Tim's wife, expecting wife, is or was, I'm not sure, part of the wrestling business. Okay.
She was through
the wrestling business. All right?
She worked for IWA Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And she ran the website for a while with her brother. Her brother graduated magna cum laude in University of Puerto Rico for graphic and web design.
Okay, so can I throw this question out to you?
And my wife was a valet for IWA for a while, and then she was my valet when I was world champion in NWS.
Okay, so here's a big question for you. I'm going to assume with all that responsibility, she did learn the ropes.
Absolutely.
She, okay.
My wife, let me tell you, my wife knows as much about this business as I do. She was a fan since she was like 10 years old.
All right. So she, like all of us, you got to be a fan. You got to be a lifelong in order to really want to do this. Even to excel at it, it helps to be a fan. Okay. We use the term mark, but the truth is we're all marks at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
And so bringing back to my question. I was thinking about yesterday, I'm watching Raw. And I noticed that the main women's match, there was two women's matches, but the big one was Beth Phoenix and Nikki James. Two women who learned the business, who, you know what I mean, who didn't come in through some diva search, who didn't come in